All right, praise the Lord. So, today is all about baptism. Baptism, what hinders me? Believe it or not, there could be something that hinders baptism. So, I want to talk about the basics, really. So, the first question we want to answer, and by the way, those of, I think there's still more back there. We have sheets back there near the exit door on a tiny table. It basically, it says, be baptized in water all the way under, and why? That's the title. So feel free, if you want a copy of that, if we run out, I'll get more. But the question is, at least to start, was what is it? What is it? Well, I think most of you already know the most famous baptizer in Scripture. Who's that? John the Baptist. Yeah, he even has that as part of his name. So let's look at this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to read both of them here. So, and then went out to him, that'd be John, Jerusalem and Judea and all the region round about Jordan. A lot of people, folks. In verse 6 says this, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So baptism, even in John's baptism, was a repentance. It's what is repentance? Sometimes you got to define that. It simply means to turn around or change your mind. So when we talk about repentance, we talk about the way we live. Okay, Scripture teaches us, and I hope everyone understands this, that we all have fallen short of God's glory. I caught that. I have dropped foot, so... I have to be careful. But anyway, the thing is, we've all fallen short of God's glory. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. If it wasn't for Christ, all of us would be headed to a hell, a place where we definitely don't want to go. But Christ made another way. He gave us an option. And that's what I preach about. And when you accept Christ, you repent, you change your mind, you change your heart. You want to go the opposite direction. Because the Scripture teaches us that broad is the way that leads to where? Destruction. And many will go there. But then it talks about the other direction, the repentance way, and it says only a few will find it. I hope everyone in this room will find it. But statistically, that may not be the case. Think on these things. So anyway, baptism, it's an act of repentance. It's a public display of your association of admitting, we admit and confess that we are sinners and we are in need of a saving God. All of us are. All of us, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed to repent. I know, it's hard to believe, but she did. That word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo. Actually, that's not the correct pronunciation. It's got like a D sound in there, baptizo. Baptizo is actually the Greek word that's used there. And if you look up what does that word mean in the Greek, it actually means to dip or to immerse or to submerge. It's like a submarine. What does a submarine do? It submerges all the way into the water. That's what that Greek word means. Now, you might be asking, well, why didn't the translators change that to dip or to immerse or whatnot? Well, back in the early 1600s, when King James I actually authorized the King James Bible to be translated, at that point in time, a lot of the religious circles were baptizing by sprinkling. You know what that is? That's where I might take a cup of water, pour it in my hand, and sprinkle you and say, you are now baptized. Well, guess what? King James was actually baptized that way. These translators feared for their life because they felt that if they translated the word baptizo into dip or to immerse, then that would have called into question King James's baptism. Well, they probably would have lost their heads for that. So out of fear, and they translated it differently, but at the same time, out of reverence for God's word, don't you love that? Reverence for God's word, they decided to keep the word baptize. It's what sometimes happens when you take a word and you, it's called anglicize, you adopt it. You adopt the word baptizo, and it changes to the pronunciation of baptize. And that's how we get that word. And that kept the translators safe from King James, and it also was to at least be faithful to the translation of the scriptures. So that's where that comes from. So baptizing is really just dipping in water, okay? I actually looked up, and it's funny the things you can find on YouTube. I looked up to see the different kinds of baptism practice in various churches, and I think it's called the Dunkard Brethren Church. They actually have a technique to where they baptize face forward. Okay? Face forward. That's how they do it. You basically, you kneel in the water and they baptize you this way. Now what they do, they dunk you three times. Three times. Father, Son, they wait till you catch your breath. And the Holy Spirit, I actually watched that. And this one poor lady, I felt so sorry for her. She either must not have been holding her breath or what, but when she came up out of the water, each time she was almost like panicking, like she was drowning, and the preacher kept saying, "Are you okay?" And she'd go, "Yep, there goes the next one." I actually heard somebody made a comment, said, "Well, I know you asked me if I want to meet Jesus. I think you're trying to make me do that now." So they're drowning them. But no, that's their method. Now, what do we do? Our physical manner is to symbolize being buried with Christ. You know how Christ was buried and he resurrected again. So we say, we tilt you backwards as in the likeness of his burial, and then when we bring you up, we say in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the physical method of how you do it. And I'm going to try to keep this message brief. So the next question then becomes, well, why? Why do we do this? What's the whole purpose of baptism? Well, you already saw when they did it for John, it was confessing their sins. It's a repentance, okay? So why be baptized at all? What's the purpose? Well, let's go to the next scripture. It's Mark 16, verse 15. This is a command from Jesus himself. Jesus said, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Verse 16, next verse. "And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So it's a command. "But he that believes not shall be damned." Now I know you might be interested to know that one scripture has caused a lot of controversy. That one scripture. A lot of people have taught that if you don't be baptized, you just cannot go to heaven. You're not saved. Is that what that scripture says? Let's look at it carefully. Because people will argue you up and down that that's what that scripture says. Scripture says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That word "and," it gets in the way because people say it's two things that has to happen to be saved. Well, read the rest of the scripture. What has to happen for you not to be saved? You don't believe. Baptism is a sacrament. It's what we do to affirm the fact that we have repented and we have given our heart to the Lord. Baptism does not save you. What saves you? Believing saves you. What damns you? Not believing. It's as simple as that. I will not argue with people over this. I will pray for them to get a proper interpretation of Scripture, rightly dividing the truth. But the way it was translated, that has caused so much controversy. But I want you to know, baptism doesn't save you. People who will argue that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, if you put this argument in front of them, well, then what if I come to Sunday morning service just like today? Any of you, what if you come to Sunday morning service and you tell me, Pastor, I want to be baptized next week. And I schedule it and I say, yes, let's do that. And then tragically, you don't make it. Something happens where you die. Are you lost? Are you saved? People will argue that you are lost. And I beg to differ. If you believed and have not yet been baptized, you're still saved. But let me add this but to it. Don't put it off. Why? It's a commandment. Jesus himself said, go and be baptized. Okay? He told the disciples, go and be baptized. That's like ignoring any other commandment that Jesus said. Love your brothers. Are you going to ignore that one? Or are you going to ignore this one? He said to be baptized, so you should follow Jesus' commandment. So anyway, moving on. Who can be baptized? I had people earlier raise your hand to who's going to be a candidate, and I use that word candidate, okay? The candidate, you are offering yourself to publicly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Savior, okay? That's what this act of baptizing in front of everyone is doing. You're associating yourself with the family of God. And by the way, that's a serious, serious thing when you commit that way. So the question is, who can be baptized? Well, in Acts, and this is the one we use a lot, is Peter in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 38. When Peter got up to preach, okay, I think 3,000 came that day. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. That's the purpose of the repent. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's who can be baptized. People who repent. So think about this carefully. I'm going to give you another example. Because when the Acts church was starting up and it was thriving, I mean, in this one day, I think 3,000 people. Wow, what a revival, right? 3,000 people came to be baptized. And I'm sure they had help. I don't know how you could do that many people. I don't think Peter did them all. Even 12 disciples, that would be, or 11 at that point, it would be hard, be difficult. But anyway, the point is, Philip was one of the deacons, okay? He was selected to be one of the deacons to help out with the distribution for widows. Okay, they brought money, they brought offerings, and they gave it to the apostles. And then people started complaining. They're saying, wait a minute, you're supposed to be distributing money to people who have need, and these poor widows over here are missing out. And the apostles said, we can't stop what we're doing. We have to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so what did Peter say? He suggested to pick out 7 people full of the Holy Ghost, and who can, and of a good report, good character, that who could handle that administrative duty. Okay, so that's what he did, and Philip was one of them. Philip, the evangelist, we call him, because he actually, when some persecution started going on, he moved up to Samaria, and then I think he was, the Spirit had told him to go down into this other area, and that's where we pick up the story. Philip, as he was traveling, came across a caravan. It wasn't just one wagon, it was a caravan. And when he drew up near the caravan, he heard a man reading out of Isaiah. And then, of course, Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he replied back, well, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? So Peter got up in the thing with him and explained him Jesus. What he was reading from the Old Testament was a reference to Jesus Christ and his death. And so there, Peter said so much more, or excuse me, Philip had to have said so much more, because the very next verses say, let's go to Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 36. And this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, okay? This is a guy with a high standing in his government. And it says here, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, or a certain body of water. And the eunuch said, see, talking to Philip, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? That's the question. What can hinder me from being baptized? So the very next verse gives a pure explanation. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, and thou mayest. So you may. If you believe, you can be baptized. And then he said, and he answered, and he said, I believe. Here we go, folks. This is key. This is key. This is what you, every one of us, have to acknowledge in order to be baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no other way to salvation. I don't care who tells you there's multiple ways. I believe that Jesus Christ, that is a public confession of his faith. He had faith and he believes it, and he's asking Philip, well then what's holding me back? What holding me back from being baptized? And so he said this, so verse 38. And he commanded, this is the eunuch, and he commanded the chariot to stand down, or stand still. Now look at here. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If baptizing meant taking a few drops of water and doing this, why would they have to get out of the wagon? Why would they have to get out of this chariot to go down to where water was? And by the way, it said to go down. They actually got into, who knows how deep it was, deep enough to immerse, because that's what baptizing means. It means to immerse. So folks, we don't baptize babies. Hopefully that's obvious as to why. Can a baby, an infant, can an infant repent? Can an infant accept Jesus Christ and know in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? No. So we, and here we do not practice the baptizing or the sprinkling of babies, because we don't believe that they can repent. Not yet. It's not time. And I know some of us maybe in here have had that done already. Don't fret. Don't fret. Just don't think that that's how we have to practice it, because that's not the proper way. It's not the definition of baptizing. An infant cannot repent. So then it begs the very next question. How old must you be to be baptized? Now, we actually have two, three young people this morning raised their hand to be a candidate for baptizing. Folks, only God knows what's in their heart. Now, there's some preachers who would say no to that. But I'll tell you something. When Hannah brought Samuel to the temple to allow him to minister with Eli, the high priest, he was just weaned, and that probably was around 4 to 5, 6 years old that he was already serving God. Folks, I'm not going to question. If they want to be baptized, more power to them. I'm going to ask them the same questions as I would an adult. I'm going to say, have you come for Christian baptism? What does that mean? That means you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I ask the next question. Do you have the desire to live for Jesus Christ? If you're coming for Christian baptism, the answer is an obvious yes. So, I don't know how old necessarily somebody has to be before that they are already aware that they need God, that they need a Savior. Folks, children can and God can reveal this to children. Believe it or not, I sometimes think a child with their childlike faith is better suited for baptism than many adults because they haven't come to the full conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If they were, they'd tremble. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that there's only two destinations for your future, we would tremble. And we would seek out Christ. And that's the whole point, folks. That's the whole point. And so the thing is, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. All right. The very last part I want to, and this may take a few more minutes to explain. Oh my, this actually has a lot of controversy too in religious circles. Who do you baptize in the name of? Oh, wow. That opens up a whole can of worms sometimes. So let's just go ahead and read the scriptures, and then we'll talk about it. So we got 5 scriptures we want to read. So let's go to the next scripture, please. So Jesus, I'm sorry, I forgot that scripture. So actually they went down to the water, and the eunuch and Philip came out of the water, and then, of course, Philip was called away. All right, let's go to the next scripture. Jesus himself said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Okay, next scripture, please. Acts 2:38. Peter himself said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Next scripture, please. And when they had, went to another group, "For as yet the Holy Ghost, he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Next verse, please. "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Interesting. Okay, next verse, please. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." I've actually heard people claim that if you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's wrong. I've heard them claim that. I've heard them claim that's wrong. Really? Jesus said it? Are you going to be like Peter and say, "No, Lord, that won't be so"? What'd he tell Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God." Oh my, that's awful bold for me to say that Jesus' command is wrong. But there are people who say that. Then what do they favor? They favor you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Or you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You see, what that does, that kind of argument brings up a terrible terrible doubt to where people, especially unbelievers, people will think, "Well, I see a contradiction in Scripture." No. Whenever you perceive what you might think is a contradiction in Scripture is actually a fallacy on our understanding of what the Scripture is saying. I wish I had the time. But that word, "in the name," "in," has multiple shades of meaning. "In," it's almost like I adopt you in my family. In other words, you are now being presented as part of the Riggs family. I'm adopting you. So if I adopt you, you are in my family, in the name of me, okay? That's how I adopt you. Or you can say, like, there's another word. I think one of the words for "in" is pronounced, actually in Greek, "ice." And in Greek, on another place, it's pronounced "epi." I don't speak Greek, but I know how to open a dictionary and I can read it. and those words basically are all the same. So when we say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we're saying being adopted or being presented to the Godhead. The Godhead is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Who is represented in that? Jesus. So, you might ask me, which one's right? Which one's correct? All of them. All of them. So don't get so hung up thinking that Earl forgot to say that word. He baptized in the name of Jesus. He forgot to say Jesus Christ. It's the same. I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. If I baptize you in the name of Jesus, or if somebody baptizes you in the name of the Lord, who's the Lord? Jesus. It's all the same. We ought not to wrangle over the minutia, okay? The small things. The small things. It's all the same. And trust me, I don't know about in this body of believers, but this is a big deal to people. This is a big deal. Because they say if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're not saved. It didn't take. How small must your view of God be? And I'm sorry. It's all correct. So, what's the conclusion here? The conclusion here is, first of all, baptism will not save you. So whether I say the words the way you expect them to be, doesn't really matter if your heart's not in it. If you don't believe Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, you're just going to get wet. And that's okay. We all need a bath from time to time. And that's okay. So here's the thing. Do we accept, fellowship-wise? Let's say I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Do I accept people baptized in the name of Jesus, or baptized in the name of the Lord, and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Of course. Of course. Hopefully we all believe in the same God, the same Son of God, and we believe. And I know people really get hung up on that. So do we fellowship? Okay? Do we fellowship? So we accept other people's baptism. And by that I mean, if you want to attend this church and you say, you know what, I didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're okay. If you got baptized sincerely, okay? If you sincerely got baptized and your heart was in it, don't worry, don't quibble over the words. Okay, that's not what God wants us to do. So yes, we fellowship, we accept people who have been baptized in various ways, because it's all Scripture. Don't tell me that this part of Scripture is not right, but this one is. I'm sorry. I believe that's the Word of God, and you try to tell me that's not right. We got issues. So, why do I say it's all the same? I understand it's important to at least feel comfortable in your baptism. This is a very important event. So I want to let you know what I do. But before I get into the specifics, let me show you this one scripture. Because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Lord Jesus, and name of the Lord. Look at this next verse. In Colossians, Paul said this about Jesus. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's tough for us to accept. Sometimes we think one extreme or the other. We think, well, Jesus was the God-man, okay? He was God. He was deity. And that's true. But don't take away from Jesus being a man Folks, he was a man as much as I am a man, with the same passions as me, with the same feelings and nerve endings as me. You think he didn't really feel those nails going into his hands or his feet? You think he was so much God that those stripes that ripped flesh off of his back and maybe even exposed his ribs, you think he didn't feel that like a man would? Oh, if we could only get a glimpse. I think we come here and we look at these crosses and we don't really give it a second thought what Christ did for us. And our way of identifying with him, is through baptism. So, what do I say? I say, typically, I will say something like this. I'll first of all ask you the questions. I've already gone over those. And then as I baptize you, remember, buckle the knees. As I baptize you, I will say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. I could say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. But then I say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. Folks, when you get baptized, it's a new life. We sang it this morning, right? I was going to say, I thought maybe I got the song wrong. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Yes, we have a new life coming, but we also have a new life here on this earth. All right, so if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them after the service. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close out this part of the service. We're going to stop the Facebook Live for the moment. And then our candidates the ladies will go this direction, the young men will go this way, and I'll let you guys figure out how you want to, what order. I would like to ask for a couple of volunteers to help out with kind of directing things, helping people get towels and get whatever, if you can. So I'm going to close out the service, and I'm going to head back here. Singers, if you would come. We're going to have an altar call. If anybody wants to be baptized today, maybe you came and you weren't expecting to, you're welcome to do that. Or contact me and we'll talk about how we need to go about doing this again. I'll be glad to do it. But here's the thing. It's a command. Don't put it off no longer than you need to. Okay? This is not something that should take years into the making. But let's do that. Let's concentrate on him today. And if anybody needs prayer, ask some of us so we can have people come up here for prayer. If anybody needs prayer, just come to the front. Somebody will come with you. Mike, if you don't mind. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come to you believing that you are the Son of God, that you're the only way to the Father. And so, Father, we turn this service over to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us today. God, that you will be pleased to dwell in this house and within us. And so, God, we pray right now that all of these candidates who have come for baptism, that, Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit and with your grace and with your mighty love. And we thank you ever so much for your love and your mercies. Amen.